Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Welcome.
Welcome to the Lena Nelson Dooley Show. Today, I will be interviewing my special guest, Mary Ellis. And listeners, I know you are going to really love getting to know Mary. Mary, are you there? Mary? Mary, are you there? Great. If you're there, Mary, I can't hear you. All right.
Hello.
Hey, now, can you hear me now, Mary?
Mary? Yes, I can. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Oh, good.
I don't know what's going on. They're having some trouble here today because they came on a few minutes ago and said we're having trouble. Listeners, I want to introduce you to Mary Ellis. She has written 21 novels, and her debut book, A Widow's Hope, was nominated for the 2010 Carol Award. Living in Harmony won the 2012 Lime Award for Excellence in Amish Fiction, while Love Comes to Paradise won the 2013 Lime Award. And she's currently writing a series called Secrets of the South Mysteries. Now, I've read a number of Mary's books and I love all of them, but my favorites are these, Secrets of the South Mysteries.
Well, I'm happy to hear that.
Oh, I love them. I really love them. That's why every time you have a new one that's coming out, I make sure you come to my blog and and now I want to interview you here. The first book, Midnight on the Mississippi, was a finalist for the Romantic Times Magazine Reviewer's Choice Award. Oh, that's cool. And then the finalist for Daphne du Maurier for Excellence in Mystery Suspense. Now, both of those are wonderful awards. And book two, What Happened on Beale Street, won the Judge a Book by its cover for Inspirational Romance. And the current book is Sunset in Old Savannah. And I would be hard-pressed to choose a favorite of those, Mary.
Well, that's very nice of you to say, because each one represents a place and time that's very special to me. And
Cool.
You know, my husband and I, right now, we've always lived in Ohio, but we do extensive traveling. And when my husband retires, we'll be relocating into the South. And so these books, part of the reason I chose, it isn't just because I'm fascinated with the South, but we're also looking for a place to move and picking out a new area to move to.
Well, I would invite you to Texas. We're also in the South, but we're Southwest.
Yes, you are.
We do have a lot of hot weather. Right now, I think it's, 88 or something, 89, something like that today. So it's
well, that it's sounds a bit hot. Cool for Texas.
Yeah, it's hot for May. It's actually hot for May. You know, we don't get this hot usually this early. Occasionally we do, but I'm hoping this means, they said something about the way the weather pattern is this year, that we probably will have a warm, you know, not so much hot, and have a more moist year, which would be nice because we're getting very dry right now. And that makes us susceptible to wildfires. But there's some really pretty places in Texas if you want to set a book there and come visit and see. Okay.
I will not rule it out. I have been to Texas once. We have family there and it's lovely.
Cool. Are you coming to the ACFW conference in September?
I don't think so. There's going to be conflict with my schedule and with my husband's schedule. I like to travel with my husband. He helps out a lot with the logistics, and he's just, that's not a good time for him to take off work.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think I would be able to go. Finances are a little tight, and I've had so many copays in December, and now I had my eye surgery, and the copays for the surgery center are just, they're, at least they're letting me pay them out at a good rate, you know, with no interest. So I had applied for a scholarship, and of course, you know, you don't put your names on there, and you know that the committee who chooses them doesn't know who they are, and they pray over them, and they choose the scholarships recipients. And there were 70 applicants this year.
Goodness.
And there's only 10 scholarships. And so I had told God, if you want me to go, you have to provide the way. But I did apply in case that's how he wanted to do it. And so when they said that all the recipients had been awarded, then I told the Lord, I said, okay, because I want to go because it's right here. It's not far from where I live. And so I said, okay, God, if that's, I'm fine with it. I told you I'd be fine, and I'm fine, and that's okay. And the very next day, someone who knew me and knew I had applied contacted me. I didn't tell very many people. I had some people praying. And she said, I want to ask you a personal question. Did you get a scholarship? And I said, no, but that's okay. You know, if God wants me to go, he'll provide a way. If he doesn't, then I'm not going. And she said, my husband and I have been praying, and we feel like God wants us to make sure you get to the conference. And they paid my conference fee.
Nice.
I think God did that way on purpose to say, look, I'm doing this for you. Nothing you are doing, like applying or whatever, nothing you are doing is getting you to that conference. It's me and me alone.
It's always
me. Isn't that cool? Okay, why did you decide to, and I know you've written Amish and you've written Civil War and, you know, several different genres. Why did you decide to go into the contemporary mystery genre?
Well, because I love reading mysteries. And actually, when I started, they're so much fun to read. And when I started my writing career, I was originally in the ABA, the general market. And I actually started in mysteries. I wrote two mysteries, and my agent suggested, why don't you come over to, I know you're a, she knew I was a Christian. She knew I was a devout Christian, but I was just writing a more general nature book without any kind of a faith element. And she says, why don't you come over to Christian inspirational fiction and give that a try? And so I have, and I've never looked back. It's been very enjoyable. But I did, when I decided to make another change in genre, something, as you know, writers aren't supposed to keep changing genres, but I thought it's time for me to finish up my writing career, however many books are left in me, in mysteries, because that really is my first love.
Cool, cool. And I'm glad you did that. You know, it's really funny. I love mysteries and I love suspense novels. And I had years and years and years ago when I had was writing heart song books, I wrote a mystery and I wrote a suspense book, but that's all I had done in that. And then since then, I've written lots and lots more. And last year, I had was invited to be in several different novella collections. And one of the novella collections, it's historical, but it was kind of a suspense too. And I'm like, wow, this is different. The first scene when it came to me, it was, you wouldn't believe it. I mean, you wouldn't believe it. I didn't believe it. And the one I'm writing right now is for a novella collection that I'm publishing through with people in my critique group. I mean, I'm doing it to give
Wonderful.
Them an outlet, you know. And this one is a suspense novel. I hadn't even, a novella, I hadn't even started it. And something happened on our street. And the next morning I woke up with the opening scene of a suspense novella. And that's
Wonderful.
What I'm writing now. I've always written
it's good.
Different genres, you know, across genre. But anyway, so each of these, like, okay, the first one was Midnight on the Mississippi, and that was in,
New Orleans.
New Orleans, okay. And then What Happened on Beale Street, and that one's in, now that one's New Orleans, isn't it?
No, that's Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh, Memphis is, oh, that's right, Memphis. I knew there was a Memphis somewhere. What Happened on Beale Street? And Magnolia Moonlight is in?
Natchez, Mississippi.
Natchez, Mississippi. And then Sunset in Old Savannah. And one of the things I like about your writing, Mary, is your characters are so, so well-developed. Now, I don't know about you, but when I first started writing, I didn't know how to develop characters. And back when I started writing, we didn't have helps we have now, but I didn't know about POV and I didn't know how to develop characters and that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
But you have really learned to develop wonderful characters. Very, go ahead.
So I appreciate your praise, but if there's any writers out there, it's always a work in progress, isn't it? I did not develop characters, I don't think, very well either. And I'm sure I ping-ponged a few points of view myself and when you get started. But if you love what you're doing and you take your craft seriously and you're willing to learn, it's learning is a joy in writing.
Oh, that's the truth. And I'm a whole lot older than you are, and I've been teaching dynamic writing workshops. I have five, and I've taught them at our church, just for equip classes, and then I taught them at, we have a Christian coffee company, a Kindred Coffee Company, which is owned by Christians, people who go to our church, and they had said, you need to come and teach those here. And of course, I got the people paid to take them there, but I don't charge much. I have a heart to help people. You know that. But
yes, I do.
I tell them, I never want to stop learning about writing. And I don't.
Exactly.
I mean, all the time I learn something new and I'm like, wow, I never thought of that. And then I try mm-hmm. it and it works well. So
exactly.
We need.
And that's a good reason why you and myself, we love to stretch our wings with new genres too, because if we stay in the same genre forever, we get stale because it's just natural to fall into certain habits and certain routines.
Oh yeah. And don't you hate it when you
find yourself creating the same character?
Yeah. You read someone that you really love reading them, and then after a while they all sound alike. And
exactly.
I don't want to get into that. I don't want to rut like that.
Exactly.
At all.
Right.
Yeah.
And that can happen to any of us.
Oh, I know. You're not in a rut with this, I'll tell you that. I think setting them in different southern places and yet tying them together through this PI firm, you know, that's involved in all of the different places with different characters, it has a newness. And actually setting, as you know, setting is important to our story. And in these books, setting is like another character, which is good because it takes your reader really into the place. And I like readers to be I teach a lot about setting too. I like readers to be grounded in where you are, because I'll get writers who come to my critique group the first time they share, and it's like what I call talking heads bear stage. That comes from my drama background. But you know, your readers are hearing something. They're hearing the conversation, but they're not seeing anything. And it's a whole tapestry. I think settings are really hard to do. When I started, I had my character walk into a room, and I started here over at the right, and I went all the way around that room, and I described everything that was in that room. And Tracy Peterson was my editor of my second book with Barbara. And that was when they had hired her. Right after that, they hired her to be an acquisition editor. And she said, don't give me a laundry list of description. And I hadn't thought about it that way, you know. I've learned a lot about settings since then. And if it ties emotionally to your POV character, oh, it can suck a reader in till they won't want to put that book down for anything. Well, now I want my listeners to know about these stories and want to read these stories. Do you want to give a short blurb of each of them? I know you're really promoting Sunset in Old Savannah, but maybe give us a short blurb of each of them. Midnight on the Mississippi.
Sure. In Midnight on the Mississippi, we have a brand new PI. She grew up in backwoods Mississippi. Of humble roots, as I grew up of humble roots. And when she comes to, and she grew up, you know, in a strict Christian home and did not have a lot of exposure to the world, or not necessarily the world, but to the underbelly of the world, let's call it. So when she arrived in New Orleans and was searching for a job, at her cousin's PI agency, she was shocked by some of the things she saw. So that will come into the story as she searches to find the true killer of a stockbroker. Their client has hired them. He is who the police consider the prime suspect, but he has not done it. However, our brand new PI doesn't at first believe that he hasn't done it. She doesn't trust him because he's wealthy. And I think there are many people, myself included, when I was very young, you know, they can be very stressful of very wealthy people. And so she has quite an arc of learning to do. She does quite a bit of growing up, and not only learning to be a PI, but learning to be patient, learning to be kind, and of course seeing the world instead of through just her own lenses, but the lenses of others.
Yeah.
Now in my tell second us book.
Yeah. Yes.
In my second book, Nikki, who now has a little experience under her belt, is called to. I just said it a minute ago. Memphis, Tennessee, because a young man that she grew up and sang in the church choir with, he had left home and left town because he wanted to be a professional musician in Memphis. And he's a blues musician. He's a sax player. There isn't a lot of call for that, except if you're going to play in the clubs, because he didn't have the cultural training or the professional training to play in a concert theater. So when he gets there, he falls into some bad company, and he is murdered. So Nikki and the head of the agency go up there to search out his killers. And again, both of their eyes are awakened by what they see, and both in good and bad. You know, some of their assumptions that they made about musicians in general were false. And I believe the who turns out to be the killer would be a fooler for any reader who decides to pick this book up at their library or bookstore.
Yeah, it was a surprise. It really was. Now, Magnolia Moonlight.
Magnolia Moonlight is one I sort of have two settings in. Our the head of the agency, Nate Price, it's his agency. He finally he marries the character that he meets in book two, and they take off for Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. So we're staying in the same state as Natchez, Mississippi, but of course this is a beachfront community, a lovely vacation spot, quite different than the charming historical city of Natchez. So we sort of have a dual mystery. His ace PIs are at work trying to discover if a Baptist minister truly committed suicide or if he was the victim of foul play. And at the same time, Nate and his new bride, Isabella, are investigating another mystery down in Bay St. Louis that unfortunately they have just sort of landed, have dropped in their lap on their honeymoon.
Yeah, that's
so that I enjoyed that very much sort of a dual plot in that one.
Yeah. Yeah. As I say, it's hard for me to choose a favorite. It's the favorite is the one I'm just now reading, but I finished all four, so now I can't choose a favorite. Now tell us about Sunset in Osavana. I love this one too.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, we get the PI agency, the headquarters is in Natchez, Mississippi, by the way, but you can't always, you know, guarantee that's where all the work is. Natchez is a rather sleepy southern town. It's not very small, but on the other hand, it's not going to be rife with a lot of investigations to be done. So when they get an opportunity to work a case in Savannah, Nate sends two of his agents. The two agents, one is new, one is a veteran. And at first, they don't get along very well, but that changes during the course of the book, because I always like a bit of romance thrown in with my mysteries. When they arrive, they believe they're going to be doing some work that is not very appealing. They believe that they are going to be investigating a philandering husband, which indeed they are. And they feel this is beneath their dignity and beneath the dignity of the agency. However, when the gentleman turns up dead, they are committed to finding who killed the gentleman, who had already come to terms with, he had made an error in judgment. He had made an error by breaking his marriage vows. And so the book is just, it is as much about Christian forgiveness as it is of solving the crime of this murder.
That's right. That's right. And I loved always have a lot of twists and surprises in your mysteries. Oh, and I love that. It's I read a lot of mysteries and suspense. It's hard to surprise me. You always do. You always do.
I take that as high praise.
I at the beginning, I forgot to tell them how they can contact you. And we want to do that before our time runs out. You can find Mary at www.maryellis, one word, MaryEllis.net. And then you also can find her on Facebook at Mary-Ellis, comma, is that a comma or what?
It's a slash author, oh. And I'll come up.
Slash author, okay. But anyway, Mary Ellis author is her Facebook page, and you'll want to keep up with her. What is coming up next? Do we have something coming up next?
Well, I'm hoping to have something coming up next. I'm currently without a contract for my first time in 10 years or so. I have a book I have just recently completed. And it is set in Charleston. The name of it is Night Falls on Charleston. And of course, that's another cool, gorgeous, gorgeous old city on the seaboard. So I'm hoping that God will make a path clear for me and will find me a publisher that's going to like the book as much as I enjoy writing it.
It's completely finished?
It is completely finished and ready to go.
Okay. You better let me know as soon as you know when it's going to come out. Mary, you are a blessing to me. I love it when there is a writer that I connect with. You know how solitary writing is. Not as solitary as it was when I started, but someone I can connect with, and we have similar tastes and write books that really, someone who writes books that keeps my attention. And so I'm always looking forward to your next book. And I know that my listeners will too. So do you have anything you'd like to tell our listeners in the next 30 seconds?
Well, then that is that I love your work just as much as you love mine. And this has been a blessing to be invited on your lovely show. And I will tune in again and again as you bring other guests on your show. This has been a joy. And I remember meeting you, I believe it was one of the Texas conventions. And it was such a blessing to meet you.
Well, thank you. And by the way, these shows, soon after they are finished, they become a free podcast on iTunes. So you can get you a copy.
Okay. I will definitely
do
Mary. That. Thank you. I have enjoyed it so much and enjoyed your readers.
Thank you.